God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the witness of our lives be acceptable to you. Amen. I don't remember the very first time my parents took me out and started teaching me how to ride a bike. Maybe my older sister was part of that learning too. But I do have a memory from sometime in the middle of the process of learning. We lived just outside of town on a small, quiet road. It wasn't a private road exactly, but it turned off of one of these rural roads heading out of town. It turned off and then dead-ended where it met the scrubby bank that led up to the irrigation canal. And there were just three houses on one side of the street and a vineyard running the length of the other side, on the other side. So there wasn't much traffic to worry about. And riding back and forth on that little street was how I learned how to ride. I would ride from the canal end of the road to the stop sign and back again, with my dad walking patiently beside me, and then later jogging behind as I got a little bit more adept and faster. This particular evening that I remember, I wasn't quite steady enough to be riding on my own yet, but we had taken the training wheels off my bike. And so, of course, it happened. I got going a little bit too fast and did that beginner bike rider wobble, and then I fell off my bike and crashed. I don't think it was too bad a fall. I caught myself with my hands. Wasn't wearing a helmet, of course, in those days, but didn't hit my head. I had some gravel stuck in the palms of my hands and in my knees, and I cried. I don't remember what my dad said or did, just that he was there. And that eventually I got back on my bike, did a few more laps between the canal bank and the stop sign until it got too dark to ride anymore. And then when we went into the house, I cried a little bit more and told the dramatic story of my fall and my recovery. Somehow, it might not have been that night or the next day or even the next day, but somehow after that, I wasn't learning how to ride a bike anymore or practicing riding a bike. I just was riding. For the next 5 weeks, we will be reflecting together on the prayer most of us know as the Lord's Prayer. Some of us might have learned it as children, maybe even before we learned how to ride a bike or tie our shoes or read. Whether we learned it as children or maybe later in life, it's likely familiar. We pray it together each Sunday when we worship, and at other times at the end of Bible study or meetings. And it's often a prayer people lean on in difficult times when they can't think of any other words to say or any other way to pray. In our gospel reading this morning, we hear Jesus' disciples ask him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus replies with the Lord's Prayer. The disciples make their request after they have been traveling with Jesus for a while. So they have witnessed his power and his love and mercy and reaching out to all sorts of people. And Jesus has sent the disciples themselves out to heal and cast out demons and declare the kingdom of God come near, as they have seen him and heard him do before. They have experienced God's power working through them. They have seen God's power in Jesus. And they have known the powerful disappointment in their failures as they struggled to keep up with Jesus and understand him. So on this day, they see Jesus praying as they have before, and they see a hint of something that they are missing, something they want. So they ask Jesus, "Teach us to pray." The funny thing is, most of them probably knew many prayers. They knew the everyday prayers that were prayed three times each day, and the prayers for Sabbath, for worship in the synagogue, prayers for holy days, and for holy events in life, like marriage and birth and death. They know many prayers, And yet they ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." And in Jesus' reply, we hear not another prayer to be memorized and prayed in the right way at the right time, but a prayer that teaches them how to pray whenever they pray. "Teach us to pray," they ask, and Jesus begins in Greek, as it was written in the Gospel, "Pater himon ha entus eronos." That first word out of Jesus' mouth, "Pater," it's a simple word, one of the first words children speak before they have developed all those tiny muscles that you need to say much of anything. In Greek, the word is pater. In Aramaic, Abba. In English, daddy or dad. Pater is a word that is familiar and ordinary and holy in the way that the love our children give us is holy. But it was not a word that the disciples would have used to address God in prayer. In Jewish faith practice in their time, and for some still today, the sense of reverence for the God of creation and redemption was so deep that you did not say God's name aloud, even in prayer, much less call God by any name so familiar as Abba, by a name that you would use to address your own family member. So in a way, Jesus' prayer sounded like prayers they knew. They knew lots of prayers that began with praise for God and that included petitions for help and a yearning for the kingdom of God. But to address God as Abba would have been strange to them. In one single word, Jesus begins teaching the disciples not only how to pray, he is inviting them to see and know God in a new way. His prayer tells them and tells us something about who God is and who we are to God. We are to pray to God as a young child calls out to her father, fully trusting that her Abba loves her and is near and will come when she calls. I know that for some of us, this is not at all a new way to see God. And it's comforting to pray, "Our Father in heaven." For some of us, we may not think much of it at all. If we have known the love of our earthly fathers, it makes sense. But I know that for some, it can be painful to consider praying this way, to say those words, "Our Father in heaven," as prayer. People who have difficult relationships with their fathers, or who were neglected or abandoned or abused by their fathers, may find it difficult to pray to God in this way without transferring the grief, anger, and hurt from their experience with their earthly fathers to God. If this is your experience, I wonder if you have found another way to feel close to God when you pray. I would love to hear if you have found another name that speaks to the God of steadfast, tender love who hears us when we call. Because I think this is what Jesus wanted the disciples to hear. When he taught them to pray in this way, calling God Abba, our Father in heaven, he was inviting them to see and know the God who created them, who loved them, and who, through Jesus, would give everything to make them whole and heal them. My dad sat with me when I fell off my bike as I was learning to ride, and I don't remember that he said or did anything remarkable to comfort me, but just his presence there helped me to pick myself back up, get back on my bike, and pedal a few more laps up and down that quiet road. His presence and the assurance that I felt with him there helped me keep trying until I wasn't learning how to ride anymore. I was just riding. As we pray this prayer over and over again, each week and in our own prayers, we are calling on the God who sits with us, who is with us when we fall. We can be assured that he is with us and that he hears our prayers as a father does hear the calls of his child. Jesus prayed to God as Abba on other occasions after he taught them this prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane and from the cross, he prayed, "Abba, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. And Abba, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus prayed throughout his life as he lived, depending on the God who created us all. And his first lesson in prayer for the disciples is a lesson on how to live in faith, leaning on God's care, rooted in trust in God, beginning with this call to the God who loves us, our Father. As we pray the way Jesus taught us again and again, may we learn to live as we pray, trusting in God, our Father in heaven, who created us and who gave everything to redeem us and make us whole, who loves us as God's own beloved children and will never let us go. Amen.